This week on Barbell Shrug, we talk about how to stop obsessing and start enjoying your training.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Stop. Just stop.
Sub-zero. Reading.
Gonna kill you.
Shame, son.
Welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, here with Kurt Mulliken.
The Scooty-Doo guy.
Use your voice.
Hey.
Coach Mike McElroy and Alex McElroy.
What's up?
I did it again. We're all coaches, but I just like calling him Coach Mike McElroy.
Coach Mike.
Here at Hit and Run, downtown Memphis. Once again, today we're going to talk a little bit about how to stop obsessing the result in your training and how to start enjoying the practice of
it. How to have fun.
How to actually have fun
again. Or bring the fun back if you've been lacking fun.
Absolutely. So if you're someone who is kind of dreading going to the gym and you just find yourself running through the motions.
Or just a complete basket case.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, training. I know some people who are like that, like, personally. I'm not going to name who they are, but, like, basket cases. Like, shit freaks them out and they just – they can't. They, like, freeze up and can't perform.
Yeah. So when we were writing in the notes for this show, Alex brought up a paragraph that was written that Barbell Shrug posted.
Not a paragraph. It's a poem.
Okay, a poem.
Did you go to school?
In the form of a paragraph?
I don't even know what kind of poem to call this. I was trying to think of it. It's not a haiku or anything, but I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So the point is that when we read it, it was like it resonated perfectly with
Should
the notes.
Should I read it?
Yeah, I think so. It was it went along perfect with what we were taking notes down
for. So I got my Chris Moore posted this on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and I'm gonna mispronounce this guy's name, but it's Chuang Su or whatever.
Sounds
and
terrible.
Yeah, I'm part Asian and I just totally screwed that up. But the poem was called "The Need to Win." And the need to win. When an archer is shooting for nothing, he has all his skill. If he shoots for a brass buckle, he is already nervous. If he shoots for a prize of gold, he goes blind. Or sees two targets, he is out of his mind. His skill has not changed, but the prize divides him. He cares. He thinks more of winning than of shooting. And the need to win drains him of power.
Oh, man. So powerful. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just like we were saying a second ago, being obsessed with that outcome can completely cloud your judgment and change the actual process. So if you're someone who's so focused on that number you're hitting that day when you go into the gym, it's going to completely throw you off. I've had that same experience several times when I go to the gym, and I have so much pressure on myself for the performance that I feel like I need to put out that it ruins the training session.
Yeah.
I find myself rushing through it like I find myself moving through stuff so fast to get it done just so I can be like, I got to hurry up and get there so I can like get that performance out and then I'm done.
Do you go into the gym, like into your training, like with a goal in mind, like for each day, or is it more just you just want to put the work in? Or was that how you were? Is that how you are
now? It varies. It varies. You know, it used to be different. It used to be like, I'm just going to go in and throw every single thing at it that I can. And, you know, some days are like that and it's that simple. And then some days when you have tests coming up, for example, like if it's like a max out Friday or something, your expectations are like through the roof.
Yeah.
And like, and it's good to be nervous because that's where you set, you know, like.
That's where adrenaline comes in.
Yeah. I mean, you need that. But at the same time, like doing that all the time can really exhaust you and take a lot of the fun out of it. And especially if you're someone who's not competing, like if you're just someone who's training to be healthy and fit, like that's really bad.
Yeah. Focusing on the process, like in the poem or the paragraph, focusing on actually shooting. So focusing on the process of what you're doing. So maybe you're snatching or maybe you're squatting or whatever. And instead of focusing on maybe necessarily the end result, but focusing on good movement pattern and the task, being completely present with what you're doing, just focusing on the task at hand instead of what's going on around it and what's going on around you.
And I don't want people to think that like we're saying like don't try to like be good at something or don't try to be the best. Like I feel like for me personally, like I'm always going to try to be the best that I can be and do
be all that you can be.
Exactly. and put 100% into it. However, the difference is that I know what realism is, like realistic stuff is, and what's achievable. And there's going to be days where it's just not going to, the dominoes are not going to fall where you want. So that is part of the process, the struggle and, the challenges. That's what makes the end result, whether if it comes tomorrow, if it comes 6 months from now, that's what makes the end result so much sweeter.
Right.
And if you're only focused on that end result, then it's going to just completely drain you of energy. It's going to rob you of energy because you're not going to have enough energy to focus on, just being present in your training, like we had talked about in another episode,
Yeah, Kurt and I talked about that on the way here. I have a lot of clients, and then days that I have specific weightlifting practice for them, they go in and we have some percentages they have to hit. And a lot of times I'll see video and they just fail. They're I couldn't hit it today. And I'm well, you got to recognize that. And at least you might have to change on the fly. This is not a day where I'm chasing a number. This is a day where I'm doing damage control, and at least change the mindset where the number's not there. I'm not setting a record today. So the best I can do is leave here a better weightlifter. Yeah. At least practice that movement to perfection and being okay with that, because every day you go in is not going to be a day where you're trying to best your 1RM.
Yeah, for me, and you've mentioned a couple of times when we've brought this topic up and preparing for this is what are you trying to prove? And for me, it's the difference in when I was training to compete and where I had that shift, because I did get into this phase where I just wasn't having fun. It was the difference in doing it with internal motivation, and it was all about, this is what I want to go for just something I want to achieve and something I want to do and to be the push to be the best that I can be, versus when that shift happened to where I wasn't having fun anymore, is because the pressure was all coming from external pressure that I was putting on myself. Nobody else was doing it, but I thought I had to live up to the standard. So I had to be this competitive athlete, and I had to be hitting these numbers because everybody was expecting it. So the motivation was coming from outside instead of just within. This is what I want to do. This is what my goals are going forward.
I'd say that's where I've been for quite some time now. There's a lot of pressure on the outside. I feel like I have to live up to something, and man, you don't every day in the gym. Yeah. You don't have those days every day. What? I'm talking about dominoes stacking up in the gym. They don't. Yeah, it's not there every day.
So what do you how does it make you how does it affect you when you feel all that pressure?
I think it does. It
Tell
takes
me about your feelings.
It takes the fun is really has been gone out of training for a while. Show up, go through the movements, and if I don't hit those percentages, I feel less. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as a weightlifter, that's more often than not. You're not gonna hit all your percentages all the time every day. Well,
especially when you're only doing two lifts, right? There's only so much you can do in your training. I'm not saying various types of the lifts, but snatch and clean and jerk is really the only two, and squat, the goals that you're after. So it's not that much variance.
So being the lone weightlifter in your gym, you're in the corner by yourself chasing basically chasing these two numbers.
Yeah.
You run into that same wall over and over again.
Yeah, I feel in that situation, having all that external pressure, it's just going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, and you build it up.
Yeah.
That's not really there.
It's not real.
It's going to carry over into multiple aspects, of your training, of your personal life, your relationships with people. There's sometimes, I've known some people that they get so worked up because of so much pressure that they actually – they're preparing for a competition. I have known people to, dodge out, they just drop out, out of a competition, out of the, last minute, because there's just so much pressure that they're just like, I can't do this. And they can, it's just they make that pressure on themselves, and it just ruins their chance for any kind of good experience.
Right.
Or what about athletes that, we'll use the Open, for example, that cheat scores. And I don't mean to cheat to actually get to regional or to do better, but they almost cheat because they have an expectation in their head, or they view themselves. Right. They don't have the self-awareness, of maybe where their talent is, that they can't accept the reality that that's where they stack up.
Yeah.
Right. So you see people cheat because of that, or not even face it, not even do it, not even show up. They just completely bail out.
Yeah.
That's awful, because you got to revisit why you're doing this again in the first place. Right. And a lot of that pressure is, self-inflicted.
Yeah. What what do you have to prove? What is so important? Think back, what is the reason why you got involved in this in the first place?
Right.
Like,
right.
you know,
well, how can we get back to that?
Yeah, because how can you get back to that? Because that's what then when you first started, that's what made it fun, and that's what made it exciting. And you know, when you lose sight of that, then it just becomes, you know, like, I don't know, it just becomes terrible.
Yeah, there's no way to explain it. Yeah, I mean, my experience came during the Open when I went through this transition and kind of had to bounce back from it. And it was exactly that. I had completely lost the fun. I wasn't doing it for what I was doing. And I had gotten to this point where I was training with a coach that we just weren't meshing well together.
Yep.
I was basically overtraining, whether it was from necessarily just the training or other stuff that was going on in my life too, which also plays a factor in this. But everything was building up, and I just had a complete breakdown during the Open.
Yeah.
And I participated, but like I threw a fit, mm-hmm. like my wife had never seen before, and like luckily only a few people were in the gym. It was a complete breakdown. I mean, I had to go and like sit behind the building for a while and figure out like, okay,
and remember, this is exercise.
And like, this is just training. Yeah. Like,
and that's basically like
what am I doing?
It's an identity crisis, and you my identity is in Christ, and it's not in this performance. And that's where people get confused. Is they put all their identity in this performance instead of something that's actual confirmed and something that's concrete. They get this temporary identity and performance.
It doesn't define you. I can remember Rich Froning, like they had an interview with him, and he said something similar to you, like training and CrossFit does not define who he is.
Right.
Like there are other things, and like his faith and his family and all this other stuff. That's who he is. Yeah. And so like when he has defeat, it's not something that's gonna like he's not gonna go crazy about it. Like
crazy about it.
Because I've seen this happen before. Like the tantrums of like people just you miss your lift and it's like you're 80%. You have a rough day and you're like and you just blow up.
Yeah, and you look like a 2-year-old.
I kicked
the box and stormed outside.
Did you kick the chalk bucket?
I didn't have a chalk bucket. I kicked the box.
You know what though? I'm gonna bring the other side of that. So I believe that you kind of have to flirt with that line too if you're trying to chase greatness, like in your head, or
if you're trying to reach the highest level.
Yeah. So like, not saying it's good or bad, but like, where do you draw that line? Because I mean, you know, if you're chasing, you know, if you're trying to make the CrossFit Games, like you're gonna have to sacrifice some things, and you're gonna have to be somewhat obsessed.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say relationships are gonna be the best. I'm not gonna say that you're gonna see your friends all the time. You know, a lot of people might look at that as sacrifice and obsession, but to you, it's like no, like this is what I'm after.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But then what? Like, so let's say you do get that. You know, we talked about that on another video. Like that coming down from that. Mm-hmm. That's where people I see have a big problem with the adjustment. So they have that expectation now that everyone sees them as this high level athlete, and then they feel like they have to live that forever, however many years they're still competing. But what if you're just done? Like, what if you don't want to do it anymore? Do you fall into that? Do you, like you said, like you had that expectation that I had to keep putting this out in the open, and man, it like destroyed you.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me personally, I mean, like I said, my identity lies in Christ and my faith in Christ, and he tells us to do everything we do for the glory of him. And if I'm doing everything that I can, like I'm doing it for Christ, then that means putting forth my full effort into anything I'm doing. So whether it's work, whether it's my relationships, whether it's working out, I'm putting forth full effort for that reason, not for the outcome.
Sounds like more of an intrinsic motivator.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So
it's the process. It's just like
because I have that motivation, the higher motivation, I have to put forth full effort, or else I'm doing him a disservice. And that's what my intrinsic motivation comes from. So the result doesn't really matter. It's just that I'm putting forth everything that I possibly can, and that's where the fun is. You're seeing what your body's capable of.
Yeah.
What your limits are.
I'll share a personal experience. You know, after having a couple of really good years in CrossFit, coming back down has been really difficult. And it's not that I'm quitting or whatever. It's just that the priorities have shifted, and accepting that was really difficult because to me, I feel like everyone sees like, oh, games athlete, he's got to go do this. And like, that's a lot of pressure. And it actually did not allow me to enjoy competing anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like the only time I wanted to compete is if I thought I was going to win.
Right.
And unfortunately, like I always want to win, and I'll never not want to win because I'm super competitive. But you know, I stopped competing because of that, and it kind of ate me up. So getting back to that has been a long process.
Well, it's tough, too, because people put the pressure on. Like, I mean, I myself have asked, you know, every time so I see you.
It's
like,
your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
No.
But I mean, every time you go to a gym or something, people are going to ask you about when are you competing next? When are you doing the grid next? When
Yeah. And you know what? I'm just going to have to learn to politely say, like, yeah. I'm probably not doing that right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I may not be done competing. It may come back. But for right now, that's not the focus.
Right.
Some of the hardest things that I did was or actually what's helped me get through it was I went to some training camps with people, some really high-level athletes, and it – actually going to them, I'm like, it's just a training camp, but I was scared shitless because I'm like, this is about to, I'm about to be exposed now.
Yeah.
Like they're going to see where my level is now. And you know what? Like that's a reality I had to face and it took so much pressure off, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
now it's fun again. And I'm excited. I'm excited to do the open.
Right.
I don't care anymore.
Right.
So like all that pressure is gone and it was awesome.
So you said face reality. What was that kind of reality that you had to kind of come to terms with?
You know what, I think maybe like it's, you know, people have their time and their phases as they go through it, and cross, it's one of those things that it's like, it's very short for a lot because people get better every year.
Yeah.
It's hard on the body, you know, life changes, you work more, you have more stressors, it's not always going to be the same. So maybe facing the reality that, you know, I'm just not at that level or maybe as fit as I was. And having to accept that has was difficult.
Right. I think, too, on top of that, maybe because I've kind of had a similar experience, that not only do you face the reality that you're not maybe not quite where you were or be able to hang with them, but also you know what it takes to do that. And my reality check was I'm not in a position to be willing to put forth that effort to be in that
position. That's how
if that's the case, then I have to give it up.
Yeah, that's how I, you know, felt better about it was like,
yeah.
I look back to when I was training like that and I'm like, I just can't do that now.
I don't want
to
do it anymore.
So I'm like, well, it's not like I'm quitting. Like, I literally can't do that now. Now, I'm not saying this for all athletes. Like, there are some athletes out there, like the Jason Kalipas, who have, like, six jobs and can go win the CrossFit Games every year. It's crazy. Unbelievable. And, like, by all means, like, keep doing that. But you got to figure out what you can do personally, and that's all you can handle.
You have to have clarity of clarity what is and what you can do.
Yeah.
Like that has to be, you know, you have to have realistic expectations and realistic goals to where you are currently, not where you were, but where you are.
Yeah.
And,
so
that's
developing that self-awareness. Yeah. So
all good athletes. That's what any.
Yeah, but how do you lead an athlete to that place? Who maybe isn't realistic with themselves all the time or has.
I think
really
this could be applied to not just athletes, but people who are just trying to get healthy and fit.
Right.
You know, when they want to be.
Life in general, really.
Yeah, when they want to be, when they get to the gym and they started it for health and fitness and they just turn it into this competitive craziness.
Yeah.
Right? Like we talked about that on an episode. Is CrossFit becoming too competitive?
Some nuggets and pearls, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And overtime.
So, I mean, it was just like, I mean, I don't even know where I was going with that, but bringing that point up, how do you talk someone kind of. To chill out a little bit and to understand, like, look, this is where you are, and like, it's good to chase goals, but like, you're not a professional athlete.
Yeah, I think a couple of things is one, trying to, like we mentioned to earlier, is getting back to what your original reason for participating in whatever you're doing is, whether it's competing or whether it's just the classes or whatever your goal is, going back to that original reason of why, because usually that original reason of why was an internal reason. And then also looking at where you've come from. So people start getting down on their goals and whatnot. You know, we talked about that gap before in an episode or a Nuggets and Pearls or something, but looking at where you are now versus where you've come and seeing that progress usually helps fuel that fire a little bit too.
I think as a coach too, you kind of have to, like, this is the job of a coach.
Yeah.
If you think coaching is just programming and writing workouts, you are mistaken. You are a counselor to your clients. And I think a lot of it too is sometimes you may have to dig a little bit deeper.
And peel back the layers.
Yeah, and figure out there's if they have so much going on, there may be something else that's going on, not even in the gym, like maybe something on in their personal life that's causing them to, you know, this is their outlet, and if they don't achieve, you know, greatness here, they're not feeling like they're achieving what they want in their personal life or anything like that, or something else is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might have to peel back the layers a little bit and dig.
Right.
Yeah.
And it may be helping shift, and we mentioned shifting, finding new goals.
Yeah.
Or new priorities.
Goals, new priorities. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So there comes a point when one thing I wanted to add too is when you peel back something like that, like I feel like my need as a coach is not necessarily to help them through that if it's something that deeply personal, but just to bring awareness to
it.
Because I don't like crossing those kind of lines. Like sometimes you need to go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. Like you need to talk.
You need something to talk to somebody.
You need to talk to somebody. But you know, you can only help so much as a coach. So I think it's important the point being just to bring awareness to it, to you realize, right. Like, look, it has nothing to do with the gym. This is your home. This is outside of it. This is your life that you need to adjust first.
Yeah.
Then everything else might fall back in line. But so other than that, you know, what if you don't have a coach? What if, you know, you're training in the gym and you're unhappy at that gym, or the program that you're on, you're just unhappy with? Like, what do?
Well,
you change goals? Do you bail out?
Yeah.
Like, how can you make that more fun? So you talked about earlier, you've lost a lot of spark in the training because you're by yourself all the time. And we were just exploring ideas on what would help. So you got any experience with that?
I mean, I think if it's an environmental thing, I mean, you got to look at changing the environment, you know,
right.
Find some people, go out and seek out some people that you can train with, or shift your, like I said, temporarily shift your goals to where you can get in with the class or something. Maybe mm-hmm. you just say, hey, I'm not enjoying being by myself, doing just weightlifting, or doing just, maybe it's still doing CrossFit, but individual design, I'm just not having fun with it. Jump back into the class and have some fun with it. And then even if you have to shift gears completely, like I've had to do, because of my injury, I can't do some of the things I've had to do. So to be able to enjoy it, I've had to shift gears and try to master something else, some other kind of skill in my training that's new and fun to try to achieve, because I'm not super good at it anymore.
Yeah, there's been times when I've come in, or maybe I've been hurt, or didn't feel that strong in weightlifting, and I'm like, screw it, I'm going to go kill a handstand today.
Like,
just find something to change the focus, and maybe the focus shifts towards, I'm going to go in and get as good a sweat as I can, or I'm going to go in and work as hard as I can, regardless of the score. And you know, sometimes maybe run into the problem that it's a workout you've done before, and you know what your standard is on that. So that creates stress too. Like, let's say you go in and do grace, and you're like, well, I know my grace time, so if I don't beat it, I'm like, my day's ruined.
Yeah,
right? Like, you know your time on that, so it's like, shit, if I don't beat this, it's ruined.
Yeah,
it may
not even be
change the
comparing
way.
Your time.
Change
it
up. It
may just be like, I'm going to take a month and not take a time down at all.
Yeah.
So I can't compare
remove
the
score.
I can't hear my reps.
Not everything has to be your
scored.
Absolute PR best attempt. Like, you know, I talk about –
it's not going to be eventually.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I was talking to some friends of mine, and you know, she was getting ready to do a powerlifting meet, and she was putting all this like pressure on like this meet, and it's just for practice. Like, to her, like, she's super hyper competitive, like, she wants to like PR and you know, set these mm-hmm. records and stuff, but like, it's not like that important. Like, mm-hmm. just view it as practice, go have fun, mm-hmm. and that's when you'll probably even do better. Like, you know, Travis.
Simplify it.
Yeah, Travis Mash. He's my weightlifting coach. And when I was going to American Open, and I was really nervous because, you know, I just came back off injury and I wasn't really performing that great. And I mean, I was really there was all this pressure I was putting on myself,
right.
You know, because I was about to do my shit on the stage, right? And so he was like, "Man, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Like, the people that have the most fun and just go out there and have fun, those are the people end up who probably do well anyways.
Yep.
So like, if you stress out, freak out about this, you're probably gonna put yourself into a worse performance than you would just going out and just having fun and not really thinking too much on it.
Right. I mean, Kalipa, you mentioned him earlier. He's a perfect example of that. I mean, you've been around him at the games. Like, he seems like he's having the most fun of anybody out there.
That's how it should
be. One of the reasons he keeps doing so well.
if you compete or train,
I don't know how
just,
he does it.
You know.
Yeah. No, I have much respect for someone like that. I mean, it's easier said than done. Like, you know, we're just like, don't stress it. But it's practiced, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to all of a sudden listen to this episode and just be like, bang, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Like,
this
may be the stepping point that's going to help you get there.
Right.
I think it's more that you just need that reminder.
Yeah.
That's more – I mean, we all, like, shit, man. I still do it sometimes. But you have to consciously remind yourself, like, all right, look, just chill out. It's not that big of a deal. Just go have fun. And, you know.
Well, that poem, it said it best. Like, I mean, and it summed up. It said, you know, doing the practice without any concern of the outcome.
Right.
You know, and that's so powerful. That could be translated actually into so many things, really.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
like doing it just to do it. And remember that it's
and
it's
just to learn
the,
from it. It's about like, the learning experience. That's
I mean,
what's fun.
Honestly, you're being present in it, you know,
yeah.
like not to get too philosophical, but like you are being present in the movements that you're doing at that time and like to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of the pressure away. So, I mean, what's some advice you can give to someone who might be stuck here right now? Like, what are some steps you can take? Like, for me, I always tell people, like, go create your own version of what it is to you exactly to be healthy.
Yeah.
Like write it down, take some time, really think about it.
Don't rush through it.
Yeah, like is it not, like try not to focus on numbers. Think long term. Like, what is it exactly that's healthy to you? And you can create your own version of that. That's really fun. Yeah, yeah. Like anything you've done with clients.
I mean, it's such a kind of a cliche thing now to start with why I like the book. But, I mean, that's really what I try to get them to do is go back and figure out, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you coming to the gym? Why is it important to snatch and clean and jerk X? Or why is it important to hit a two-minute time on Grace? Or why? What's your motivation? Why are you doing this? And if you can get grounded in that, then nothing else is going to matter near as much. And reminded them, like we alluded to earlier, it's just working out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the end, it's just working
out. It's not. It's life or death.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is exercise.
It's exercise. I mean, so I always remind them of that.
Anything you've used?
Basically what's kind of used. For me, I just feel like, you know, I set, you know, one big goal, you know, and that's more what I focus on. And it's a thought out goal. You know, it's not mm-hmm. something like, you know, whatever. It's, you know, I want to do this. And then, you know, I'm not stressing about, you know, the individual failures in between mm-hmm. as long as I'm progressing towards that. So, mm-hmm. you know, even though I may fail one day, I know that I'm putting in the work to progress towards that. So mm-hmm. you got to remind yourself too, like, as long as you're putting in the work and you're doing it consistently, like, you will get there. It may just not be tomorrow, or it may not be when you want it to be, but you will get there at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. CTP just reminded me. Yeah, so there will be an episode of Barbell Shrugged Full Depth where we talk about my journey to Reno, which is one American Open, which is one of my big goals.
Oh,
so,
cool, man. Yeah. Awesome. I'll check that out.
It'll be on there.
Yeah, so what about the group aspect of it? So community is, like, super important to me, regardless of how fancy and individualized the program is for you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just not happy doing it because, like Kurt said, like, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. So – you know, or what if that community isn't for you? What do? Do you switch gyms?
You got to surround yourself with good people. Regardless. I mean, like, you know, like we always say, like, you're the average of five people that you hang out with, you know. Yep. Like, you want to surround yourself with positive people who, like, your tribe, you know, like, they're on the same wavelength as you. Yep. You know, they're not trying to bring you down. They're trying to uplift. So, like, you have to, yeah. I think. Yeah.
If you're in a gym with a group of people that isn't supporting what you're doing, you know, and that doesn't mean they're wrong necessarily. It just means that's probably not for you. But, like, you got to recognize that and move on. Don't keep trying to fight it. Don't keep trying to make it fit, right? Your cheese moved.
Right. Well, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a local community. It can be a bigger community.
Right,
I think,
right.
Like, for me with, you know, with business relationships and even training relationships, like, my community goes outside of my gym because not everybody sees eye to eye on different mm-hmm. things. So it may not be – it may just be communicating through text messages constantly with people.
Connecting with people on forums or online on Facebook and things
community.
Like that. Like, that, you know, like, finding some kind of community. So, like, especially, you know, if you have a home gym, like, you don't have a physical present, like, community, but you can have one, you know, outside of that mm-hmm. through, you know – online.
Yeah, I love it. The Barbell Shredded Group's a great example. So a lot of these guys, like, are like garage gymmers, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them just do their own workout in the corner. Some of them at Globo gyms, and they all start the program at different times. And these guys have a extremely tight knit community. They're in there every day helping each other out, and, like, it's because they all are heading on that same path. They're all moving the same direction together.
Right.
Like, it's perfect. It worked out great.
Yeah. I think having somebody to you know, be with you on that is mm-hmm. is very crucial to having fun in your training. Because, I mean, even still, like, all right, so, like, yeah, I mean, you could still have somebody to, like, oh, yeah, I went up to you on that one, like, on the other day, mm-hmm. like, what you got? Like, you know, I mean, that still makes it fun, you know? And as long as it's like, a cool competitive type, not like, bro, like, you know, like, always kind of just
smash
your face.
Bro.
Yeah.
I've seen people literally mad at someone, hate them because they got beat in a workout.
Yep.
And it's like,
what
it's,
is with that?
I don't know. It's crazy.
It's like, oh, you ever seen this one? I see this one meme, Nike weightlifting, hilarious, right? On Instagram. And it's like, when you see somebody warming up with your one rep max,
dude.
It's like, and you give them, like, the stank eye, like, what the, like, why are you mad?
Yeah.
Like,
it goes back to that, what do you have to prove, or what are you trying to prove?
Mm-hmm. It's probably because, you know, like, oh, yeah, you're, like, the biggest and the baddest in your neck of the woods, but then somebody else comes along. But I think that's a good reminder, you know? Like, that's, like,
always being humbled.
Yeah, I think being humbled also makes it fun too, because
that's the beauty of CrossFit. Yeah. Like, you are humbled daily. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, same thing with weightlifting. Like, you see people, you thought, oh shit, like, damn, like, I just got blown away.
The
like,
open is a humbling experience.
I thought
experience.
I was strong. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not.
Well, I think that's another reason why people like to do the open, because mm-hmm. it is a very challenging and a humbling experience, and you realize, like, man, like, you know, I've come a long way, but
those
I still got
good.
A long
Man,
way to
I
go.
Think the open could be far more enjoyable if you remove the expectation.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So if you are just so concerned with that placement, because honestly, if you're going to chase that, you're never going to be happy with it. Because like right. I've said before, I've said 100 times, like, there's only one winner.
Right. And I mean, it changes every year. So it's like, you know, you just got a moving target. Yeah, it's a moving target, and you just have to have fun with it. And treat it like that,
and
like what you said.
It can be a blast.
Yeah. But
before the internet, was everyone a local meet legend?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Before Instagram, it was probably, everybody was probably like the biggest and
I'm
baddest.
I'm so awesome.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So, I mean.
Internet ruined everybody.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, that's another thing too.
Yeah.
Here I'm gonna talk about this right now because yes, in the internet has ruined a lot of stuff, and you just see all this stuff on the internet, and it's like you don't try to compare yourself so hard to that like
to only PRs.
Yeah, to only PRs. People only post PRs online. Like, they're not gonna post, like, very rarely people post failures. Yeah. So like, you're not seeing like the 90% of the time, you know, that it is. So like, I would say if you wanna have fun, like, maybe just stay off the internet or just mm-hmm. realize that that's what that is. Yep. You know?
I've seen a lot of athletes do that. They remove the Instagram account, like, coming up to competition. They don't want to know what the other athletes are doing.
Really? I did not. Yeah, really?
Yeah. So yeah. I would practice that.
I would straight up see what that makes total sense.
I mean, if you hit a PR snatch that day and you go online, you see two or three other people do it.
Like, oh, yeah.
I've admitted I've done it too. I've been like,
I trained with this one person.
Yeah, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you'd never seen it, imagine how high you still would have felt after that.
I trained with this one girl, and she was like, yeah, I snatched this, or I clean and jerked this. And then I went on Instagram, and I saw three other girls do it. I'm like, I compete against them. And she's like freaking herself out. I'm like, Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. You know?
So we touched on, you know, if you run into the issue where you've lost the fun in training, we gave you some ideas on, you know, how to really peel back the layers and figure out why that fun is gone. Some suggestions on
thrill is gone.
Yeah. Is it community? is it maybe you're setting unrealistic expectations? Maybe you're not very self-aware. Maybe it's time to move on to a new goal. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people, especially like a specific sport, like weightlifting or CrossFit, like if they're just lost, if they've lost that passion for that, even though the ties of the community are so strong, they're so scared to let go of that. Like, you got to recognize that, like, move on. It's okay. And if you want to come back, you come back. Yeah. No big deal.
I think for the intro for the show, we should sing that song. You've lost that love and feeling from Top Gun. That's what we should do, right?
How's it go?
You've lost that love.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I didn't know you did it. I can't believe you did it.
I mean, anybody watch Top Gun, you know that shit.
I don't know that song.
McElroy, God. All right. We need to make a list.
I even know that song.
Oh, you know that song.
The list is too long.
We need to make a list of all the movie references and movies that McElroy just, you know, sit you in a room one day.
All
and
of them.
Watching.
I thought you were going to say the movies he hasn't seen, because it takes forever. We'll just do a list. We'll do the top 10 most important films. I want to ask the fans, what are the top 10 most important films McElroy needs to see?
Yeah.
All right. So with that said, gave you some ideas as well on what steps to take to maybe try and resolve this. Go talk to a coach. You know, switch gyms, switch communities, find a new program, change your goals, sit down and write down, you know, your idea of what fitness is, like what health is to you, and figure out if those things go in line with the path that you want to head toward.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I just think that self-assessment first before you start changing a lot of stuff, because, you know, we always like, you know, don't switch it up like too quick, follow the program, follow the path, but like,
don't blame an outside source first.
Right. Look inside first before you start trying to look outside, and then if it's something on the inside that's jacked up, then that's what you need to address.
Yep.
Outside stuff is not going to change.
Right.
So always look, try to say, always look inside first.
Time.
I guess that's time.
Done.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Another fucking.
This week on Barbell Shrug, we talk about how to stop obsessing and start enjoying your training.